I got the title of this sermon, or actually the statement, probably 25 years ago, 22 years ago, something like that. I was on TBN, and I was a guest with John Osteen, who is Joel Osteen's father. I know the whole Osteen family. They're wonderful people. Blessings of the Lord. You ever get a chance, you're in Houston, you need to go see Lakewood. They're wonderful people. Blessing. But John was such a special man. You hear Joel talk about his dad all the time. And he never did call me Jesse. He called me Cajun. John Osteen. He would just call me right in the middle of somewhere. And he'd say, "Hello, Cajun. This is John Osteen. I was thinking about you. Bye." And he'd hang the phone up. Might last maybe 7 seconds. But it felt so good because he was such a pastor's pastor. Well, anyway, we were discussing in the green room before we go on. I don't know why they call them green rooms because none of them are green. But they just call them green rooms, you know. So we were about maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes out before we went on to the Praise the Lord show and all that kind of stuff. And Dr. Cherry, remember Reginald Cherry, Dr. Cherry? He was also in there. And he was also a guest that night. Well, to make a long story short, we were just talking like that. And a couple of people were making sure they put microphones on us and all that kind of stuff, you know, preparing, putting makeup on, that kind of stuff. And I said, "You know, Brother Osteen, it's such a wonderful blessing to live in the blessing." He said, "Well, I live off the top of the barrel." Now, when he said that, I accepted that 100%. But one of the people that were there doing makeup, they said, "Well, that's not faith, is it, Brother Osteen?" Now, why is it? I like what John said. He said, "Let me tell you something. It took a lot of faith to fill that barrel. And it takes a lot of faith to keep that barrel full." I have never forgotten that statement. That's either 25 or 22 years ago. It began to percolate then. And, you know, I was just waiting for the right time because I don't just go pick a sermon to pick a sermon. You know what I'm saying? God, what would you have me to say? This is vitally important because there's been so much wrong theology concerning the blessing of the Lord. The church world and the secular world have accepted the Babylonian system. The Babylonian system is that you go in debt, and how much is the note? And they keep you constantly holding you to their way of thinking. The blessing system is Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish, fill and refill. In other words, use it. Then he said subdue, which means control your environment, or your environment will control you. Has nothing to do with your job. Has nothing to do with your color. Has nothing to do with any of all this junk that's been put out. But because people have accepted that, they have produced a poverty mentality to church world to such a degree, they call it a holy vow of poverty. How can lack be called holy? How can you call something holy when a baby's starving to death and dying? How can you call something holy, bless God, when you throw it out your house? How can you call something holy like debt so bad that you borrow money and have to pay back 3 to 4 times the amount of money that you borrow? That's called loan shark, and you know mafia guys went to jail for that. Yeah. All right. I wonder when the credit card company's going to go to jail for it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I mean, you're paying compound an inch of 22%, 28%. Some of you are paying 30%. It's just ridiculous. But because you're used to saying how much the note is, they can charge you whatever you want. Did you hear him say the other day that at the time of this preaching, they say, "You know, we've been over 1,000 days when gasoline's been over $3 a gallon. You're getting used to it. So when it drops 2 pennies, you get excited." Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You got to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. They're out to get what you have. So I want to deal with that, and we're going to use scripture to make you understand it, because the Old Testament talks a lot about wealth completely through it. Yes, it tells you the good sides and the bad side. Everything has a good side. Everything has a bad side if you abuse it or you do wrong things with it. You understand? Any doctrine, any homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought that's taken to the extreme can be abusive instead of being a blessing. So let's read this. Let's start first, if you don't mind, Genesis chapter 12. We'll start with the father of our faith, which is Abraham. Now, we've been adopted into the family. And he says this in Genesis 12, verse 1. "Now, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred." That means your family. "And from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing." This is the beginning now of who you are. This is your ancestor, and God is saying this to your ancestor because you are the seed of Abraham. Yeah, yeah, And God said he has given you the same spirit of faith. Go find that scripture after a while. The same spirit of faith. And watch this. And I will bless them that bless thee, verse 3, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all duplantises of the earth be blessed. That are born again. I'm in the family. You understand that? All families of the earth be blessed. Now, go to chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Uh-oh. Lot was his nephew. What did he bring Lot for? What do you think Lot's mama, what was on her mind when she was having that baby? Property? What, a real estate agent that talked to her and said, you're going to get that Lot? Why would you name a guy Lot? It's just food for thought. You understand what I'm saying? So right there is a mistake. Now, why did Abraham bring Lot? We have to answer this. Title of this sermon is Living Off the Top of the River. Why did he do that when God expressly told him, do not get away from your kindred? Because Sarah, even though she was beautiful, you got to understand, a king desired to have her at 80 years old. Now, you got to be one fine looking woman, son. If you're going after 80, if you 80 years old and you got a king saying, oh, Lord, I got to have her. So, I mean, good Lord, Jesus. I've seen some good looking 80 year old women, but not to that point. All right. Because she was barren, as we say, she could not have children. Maybe she had endometriosis when she was a teenager. I don't know. Food for thought. Who knows? Something wasn't right. We know it went wrong with Abraham because he obeyed her by taking her maid, which he should not have done. Take my maid and have sex with her. Okay, I'm going to do this for your sake. That's probably the great, that's called winning the lottery for my man, son. You understand what I'm saying? And when your wife says it's okay, you got to be living in a dream world. But he did. And of course, we have the Arab-Israeli problem today because of it. So Sarah really was actually the first surrogate mother. And that didn't work. So watch this now. So when you understand that, he figured, well, look, it don't look like I'm ever going to have any children. I can't. And I love Sarah so much. So that's okay. So I like my nephew and I'm going to bring him. And so when I grow old and I die, then any possessions I have, I'll make Lot my possessor of my possessions. But what the problem was, Lot, what he had an eye for the world and not an eye for God. The Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom because the grass was green. Greater the grass, the greener the deception. Or the greener the grass, the greater the deception. You understand what I'm saying? I like what Irma Bombeck said. She said, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. Do y'all remember Irma Bombeck? Way back, she, yeah. Why? Because there's some rotten junk down there. And next, and if you keep on reading chapter 13, you find there is strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And Abraham let him make his choice to go where you want. You go to the north, I go to the south. You go to the east, I go to the west. Wherever you go. And God waited until Lot was departed from him. Then God began to speak oracle, living off the top of the barrel. All of a sudden, brother, the top of the barrel began to take place in that man. And it made no difference where he was. Did it make any difference about the economy or anything of that nature? Zero. Because God was with him. The verse I want to get to for you people that don't believe in prosperity and blessing is verse 2. And Abram was very rich. How rich?
Yeah.
A high rich.
Yeah.
Let me get a little black. I said, high rich. Come on, baby. I said, high rich, Lord. Very rich. Uh-oh. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, New Testament, and is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:17, 16 and 17. Go read that later on. And Abram was how rich? Very rich in what? In cattle and in silver and in gold. Ooh, Lord. Notice this. So from chapter 12 to chapter 13, he got very rich because God blessed him. Amen. You think the devil will bless you? No, he'll kill you. He's a killer. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he don't come if you don't have nothing to steal. And Abram was how rich?
Very
rich in cattle and in silver or in gold. Or in other words, look at me, physical possessions. Not just spiritual things like the church was tried to pull at. Jesus was poor. Jesus couldn't be poor. He had 12 full-time people on his staff. A poor man don't have a staff.
Amen.
Some of them were married. They had to eat. He had 70 part-time that he sent out. So that's 82 people that work for the Jesus the Nazareth Evangelistic Association.
Amen.
They gambled for his robe. You don't gamble for rags.
All right.
You don't go to that treasury, whatever the place is. I don't know the name of that thing here in New Orleans, that casino, and say, give me the poorest thing you got. No, you're trying to get better. So his clothes must have been pretty nice for people to gamble for it.
All right?
Yeah. Think about it. Come on, let the elevator go to the top here. You never heard Jesus struggle financially.
No.
Why? Why didn't he struggle? He's the seed of Abraham. Oh, he's the son of God. No. He emptied himself.
Yes.
Everything he did as a man. He called himself the son of man, even though he was the son of God. And what are you going to do when you get to heaven? And there's just not poverty there. What are you going to do when everybody's full? When all the streets are gold and every house you got's a mansion, a big one. My Lord, why won't there be any persecution? Because Satan will be in the hell where the trailers are. Don't shout me. There's nothing wrong with a trailer. Don't feel bad if you live in a trailer. I was raised up in trailers. But there's something better for you. Are you hearing me? And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, and most of you know, I have been living off the top of the barrel for many, many years. And I tell you what, it's wonderful. It is a blessing of the Lord to be able to go eat what you want, come back when you want. If your wife wants something, she can have it. If she don't want something, she don't need to have it. Whatever she wants, or your children, or whatever, so you can be the blessing you want to be. In other words, it takes the heat off the responsibility of being a man. In other words, you're able to be the blessing. Nothing wrong with that. And yet, so many people say, oh, because poverty is so blinding that you keep talking poverty in the midst of great wealth. It's amazing to me how much wealth is in the church and everybody talking poverty. And they wonder why the wealth is so strong in or on Wall Street. Why? Because they believe in for it. Oh, I'm not on the Wall Street. You got a pair of Nike tennis shoes? You're on Wall Street. You'd be surprised everything you got in your house is coming out of Wall Street some way, shape, or form. So Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Now, I want to deal with this in this section here on living off the top of the barrel. Now, write this down. To live off the top of the barrel, you must do three things. We're going to start here. You must do three things because now everything I'm going to say, the world is going to be against you. Look at me, including the church. Because they have bought that junk that poverty is a blessing. Except at their house. Have you noticed? You can be poor, but the church cannot be. You got to give your money to the church. Bless God. And you go home and starve. Give me that money. Do you see how asinine that is? If money's so bad, how come they're receiving offerings today? Why did they receive donations? It's the love of money. See, is when you begin to love something greater than the God you know.
Amen.
Then you got trouble on your head. We'll deal with that next week. So you must do three things. Number one, write this down. And you got to understand this. Number one, establish in yourself. Say this, establish in myself.
Establish.
Okay. Establish in yourself that God can't lie. Number one. Now, the only way you're going to know all of God's words is by looking at the Holy Scriptures. So there's not a lie in the Scripture. Now, watch this. You heard the word establish. In other words, don't try to convince someone about this if you're not convinced. Because it ain't going to work. You have to establish in yourself that God can't lie. Now, I'm going to explain that. Why don't I ask God for needs? You work for me. Have you ever heard me say, boy, I need? No. Why? Because he said he'd supply all my need. Did he say that?
Yes.
Now, the reason why I don't deal with needs at all, because I've established in myself that God can't lie. Amen. So I don't tell him what I need. I tell him what I want.
Amen.
Oh, some of y'all get mad on that. Listen. Because when you, I've said it so many times, I got to say it again. Because when you get what you want, you destroy all you need. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, or actually 23, if you would say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore, what things, talking about things now, physical stuff, cattle, silver, gold, things. Therefore, what things ever you desire ain't got anything but the will of God. That churchy religion. That's not theirs. They just put that in there because they didn't want you to get too much. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Just listen to them. If you don't like it, then jump up and walk out of here. Because I'm tired of you being poor. I'm tired of your children being poor. I'm tired of the devil beating you, stomping you, and you can't do things you really want to do. Because you're not a greedy person. You just want to be a blessing to somebody. See, it's called living off the top of the barrel. Now, first, I got to teach you how to get the barrel full. Some of you, I got to show you how to go get a barrel, much less get the barrel full. So I got to establish, to hear the word establish in yourself that God can't lie. Now, in Mark 11, 23 and 24, there's two things happening in that verse. It tells you how to get what you want, and it tells you how to remove what you don't want. Write that down. That's in my partner letters, if you get my partner letters. On believing the unbelievable, receiving the impossible. It tells you how to get what you want, if you would say to that mountain. No, if you say, therefore things whatever you desire when you pray, that's telling what you want. But it also gives you the ability and tells you how to remove what you don't want. What you don't want. You see, it's amazing. How come so many people are poor? They don't want it, yet they believe for it. And what you believe for is what you receive. All right? So you have to remember that. Remember those two scriptures. Remember the Bible explicitly telling you how to get what you want and also how to remove what you don't want. That's Mark 11, 23 and 24. So establish in yourself that God can't lie. Why? His word is always first place. His word is always first place. Write that down. That's why when people criticize me because of my airplane or my home, look at me, or gold. Now, I ain't got no cows, but I might go get me a cow. I don't know. Maybe I ought to get a cow. I don't know. I don't have a cow. I don't know. Whatever. Watch it. I don't get mad at them. I don't attack them because God said persecution would come for the hundredfold. So the reason why is I don't get mad at them and want to strike back at them is not because I got more faith than you. No. Because I've established in myself that God can't lie. His word is first place. So when I receive something nice, I know if I'm in a store and I buy something, glory to God. Oh, people are always looking at what I'm going to buy, how much he paid for that and all that. They may be critical. He don't need that. You don't know what I need. You have no concept of what I, you don't know nothing. I don't know. It's amazing to me how you become an expert on nothing. And I don't mean to be rude. Listen to me. The reason why it doesn't bother me is not because I'm better than you are. It's because I've established in myself that God can't lie. Why? Because his word in my life and in your life should be first place. Not the New Orleans Saints. Well, I lost a few of you right there. I love the Saints. Hey, I like Dallas too. And I like them all. I like Notre Dame. Oh, Lord Jesus. I like them all. That's not the issue. But what is first place? First place. There ain't nothing wrong with going to a football game. Don't make sense. Don't take that out of kilter. I'm just saying it. What is first place? You understand what I'm saying? Establish in yourself that God can't lie. His word is first place. Now watch this. Write this down. First place keeps you full in every area. See, when you win first place, there's no more. You get the trophy. First place keeps you full in every area. People get so mad at me. Oh, but then when they get to know me, they say, you know, he's just a regular guy.
You know, it's amazing. That guy's wealthy. But you'd never know it unless you knew it.
I went to the seafood pot the other day. I kind of like, you know, I'm just, they say, he's just so normal.
Well, what did you expect?
Let me tell you what you expected. You expected someone with some wealth to put you down, to look down at you. I got some friends of mine say, you would never know Jesse Plans got anything unless you look at his jewelry. Now, I happen to like jewelry because it's called silver and gold.
All right.
It's in the book.
All right.
It's in the book.
All right.
It's in heaven.
Come on, doctor.
It's just not at your house. Don't shout me down. It happens to be at my house. Why is it at my house, Kenny? Because it's in the book. Because the word of God's first place. It's in heaven. So why are you mad at me if I got heavenly stuff?
All right.
Amen.
Come on, preach it to him, doctor.
Thank you, sir. Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to establish this. Because I won't tell you something. It ain't easy being criticized. It's tough. Somebody's always looking at you weird. Unless you buy them something. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. See, establishing yourself that God can't lie. Why? Because his word is first place, no matter what's coming your way. Number two, first place always keeps you full. Number three, you can look at an empty wallet and see it full. You see, for years I looked at an empty wallet and saw it full. Why? Because Romans 4:17 says, if you don't like what you see, change it. That's the definition of what's Romans 4:17? He calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Michelle, if you don't like something, change it. You, Judah, if you don't, I don't care if you're young. If you don't like it, change it. You change it with the words of your mouth. Now, the only way it's going to work is if you have established in yourself God can't lie. You can tell when people are not established, how long is this going to take?
Oh, no.
See, they keep asking, they're not established. They're shooting dice. Now, it has nothing to do with time. See, once you forget time, time forgets you and you get it quickly.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So, in other words, you look at an empty wallet, instead of seeing abundance of lack, you see yourself in the blessing. You're not living in denial. You are changing what you see by calling those things which be not as though they were. This is not my opinion. This is the word of the living God. So you have established in yourself that God can't lie. His word is always first place. First place keeps you always full in every area. And you can look at an empty wallet and see it full. Number two, you must embrace to others. Everybody say to others. What you have established in yourself. See, that comes now. See, people say, that Jesse Duplan talk about his plane, talk about his house, talk about his car, or whatever. I don't have a car. Kathy got a car. I got a truck. I like a truck. I like a truck. I just like the truck. She got a car. Sometimes she rides my truck, and sometimes I ride her car. It doesn't make any difference. We swap around. I don't like her driving my truck. But I don't mind me driving her car. I'm going to. I don't know. It's a man thing. I don't know what it is. You must embrace to others. I use embrace. Establish in yourself. Embrace to others what you have established in yourself. What does embrace mean? Write this down. Embrace means you move beyond theology. Because they're going to kick back at you. So you have to embrace what you establish. You can't change. Having done all the stand therefore. That's the book of Ephesians. Stand. Having done all the stand. That's embracing. See, then people know not only have you established in yourself, but you're so convinced that it's right that you are embracing it to others. So when I tell somebody I got something nice, all I'm doing is Deuteronomy 8:18. It ain't bragging. It ain't arrogance. None of that. It's just saying, thou remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, why would God give you power to get wealth if wealth was not for you? Why wouldn't God heal you if healing was not for you? Why did he say by his stripes you were healed? And you know what the church says? That's not for today. You know why? That's because they live in lack. They're going to try to get you healed. We're going to pray, but you never know what God's going to do. Oh, they haven't established God at all in themselves. They have established theology. That's the point. See, when you embrace, you're getting away from theology and you're getting into what God said. See, that's why they say, well, healing not for today. Miracles are not for today. How many of y'all could use a miracle? Hold your hand up. It must be for today. Look at the hands. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, what you do is embrace means you must move beyond theology. Write this down. Your past must not dictate what you are embracing. Your past must not dictate what you are embracing. Well, I tried that and that didn't work. I lost my money. I tell you, when I got preachers, I got my money. No, no. See, now your past is dictating, and it shouldn't. Your past never sees the future. It's in the past. You notice I don't deal much in the past at all. Kathy says, Jesse's got so many plans. You know, I told you a while ago I was trying to announce September and I was in January. That's me. I am a futurist. You understand what I'm saying? Because you see, I'm already on the next block. Why? Because you know, I'm moving forward. I believe in progression. And out of progression will come possession, see. So in other words, your past must not dictate what you are embracing. So it doesn't make no difference how many times it didn't work. I mean, how many times I ate food I didn't like, but they didn't stop me from eating. Did you get that? How many times you ordered something at a restaurant and you said, oh, man, and it kind of ruined your night. Ugh. But that didn't stop you from going out and eat again. Now, the other day, you know, me and Marty, we good friends, you know, and we good Pedro players, you know. He can read my mind, I can read his mind. Every once in a while I'll blow it, you know. I don't think he does, but every once in a while. And it was so amazing, you know. And we embrace it. We get into this. But you know, the other day, for the first time in, I think, 43 years, Kathy beat me at a card game. But that don't stop me from tearing her up the next time I see her. That don't stop me and Marty, glory to God, saying, girls, it's time to play. And we play. Now some people, oh, I'm going to get some ugly. He plays cards. Well, you going to have me now, the Venetian Hotel gambling? What's next? You see, it's amazing. It's amazing that a preacher ain't supposed to have fun. Why are most preachers sad? It's the people that pass to make them sad. Don't shout me down. When, look, Nate loved that. Look at Nate. He got that revelation right there. Lord Jesus. I just said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the reason why most of them are sad, because the pastor said. Normally a church is a product of its leader. If the pastor broke, it's going to be a broke church, son. If the pastor's sick, you at a hospital make a lot of money on that church. Why? Because they're embracing sickness, and they got it. They're embracing poverty, and they got it. They've established it so much that when you tell them the truth, I don't believe that. See, you embrace. Let me just say it like this. Your past must not dictate what you are embracing. So there's been some things that I've been believing for that it didn't come to pass the way I wanted, but that didn't stop me from embracing it. Because I knew what God said was true. And then number three, establishing yourself, God can't lie. And there's a bunch of things under that. Embrace the other, what you have embraced or established in yourself. And number three, implementation and application of these two will attract others to live off the top. Implementation and application of these two will attract others to live off the top. Now, let me get on this. You must say what you want instead of what you have. That's implementation and application. See, all I'm trying to do, well, I'm not trying, I'm going to do it, and am doing it, is to get you out of debt here at Covenant Church. You that are watching all over the world, you that are partnering the Justice Plans Ministry, listen to me, I don't care how much debt you got. We'll get you out of debt if you listen to us. But you're going to have to do what we tell you. I ain't trying to control you. I don't want to control you. You understand? I got enough problems controlling myself. Why don't I want to control somebody else, Lord? I got to put down the flesh every day. That's aggravating. You understand what I'm saying? No, that's just like I'm crucified the flesh daily, not Sunday. So I don't want to have time to be trying to control you in any way, shape, or form. Application and implementation. Powerful things, see. When you understand what I'm saying here, let me say it again, implementation and application of these two will attract others to live off the top. You must say what you want instead of what you have. Most people tell God what they have. He already know that.
Tell him something he don't know. Living off the top of the barrel, you're telling someone who is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo, who's El Elyon, who's able to buy a barrel, fill the barrel, keep the barrel full, and you telling him what you got. He know that. Let me shock you. If you ever told God, Lord, you see this cancer? No, I don't look at that trash. I don't deal with that. You deal with that. I already took that. I took that at the cross. What you telling me about cancer for? By the stripes you heal. Use what I already gave you. Don't shout me down. Now that just helped you to get the barrel right there. And people would say, what you doing with that barrel? That's why God told that lady in 2 Kings, when we start pouring the oil in the buckets, close the door. Don't let nobody come in here. Keep the fools outside. Keep the dream killers outside. Why? Because see, when your barrel gets full, they get so mad, they try to punch a hole in it. They'll try to punch a hole in your barrel. Implementation, application. Watch this. You must say what you want instead of what you have. I don't tell God what I have. Why would I do that? I tell him what I want. The law is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let patience have his perfect work, that you're perfect in its hour, wanting nothing. My God, hallelujah. The young lions do suffer lack, but he that seeks my face shall not want for any good thing. So every time come Christmas, I never come up to Kathy and say, Kathy, what do you need for Christmas? I never say that. I say, Kathy, what do you want for Christmas? I see Jody, my daughter, or my son-in-law, now Jay, or my Meredith. I never tell Meredith, what do you need? She is not in the area of need. She's 5 and a half years old. She don't think about need. I told her something day before yesterday. Kathy said, give her $20. She's going to the, what do they call that place? Disney store, whatever. She calls it a magical store or something like that. Now, I said, do you know what this is? She didn't quite know. I said, there's $20 bills in this one bill. She's going, give me a bunch of those. That's exactly what she said. She got the revelation. Give me a bunch of those. I said, you learned that from your grandmother. But Kathy is a little bit higher on the denomination than the 20. Give me a bunch of those. See, she didn't say what she had. She told me what she wanted. Now watch this. This is living off the top of the barrel. This begins to fill the barrel. If you keep talking about what you got, your faith is focused on your lack instead of on your blessing. Your faith is focused on your lack instead of on your abundance. Your faith is focused upon your sickness instead of upon your healing. Your faith is focused upon your trouble instead of on your answers. You see what I'm saying? You got to learn to turn around and say, what do you focus on? Focus on your priority. You eliminate all your confusion. Every area. This is called living off the top of the barrel. So you must say what you want instead of what you have. Now write this down. What you want, oh God, I love this, is at the top of the barrel. But what you have is at the bottom. What you want is at the top of the barrel. What you have is at the bottom. Write that. You got that? What you want is at the top. But what you have is at the bottom. Quit establishing what you have and start establishing what you want. By knowing and establishing yourself, God can't lie, embracing it to others, and application and implementation, my Lord, to people look at and say, this guy actually believes it. I've had people say, that stuff is crazy. I don't believe all that stuff about that money and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm going to just use the thing that I preached the other day for my staff. You think I'm crazy? You sitting on my crazy. Look around here. You sitting on my crazy. This is the first church in New Orleans that was built debt-free. You sitting on it. You don't pay this pews. I bought those pews. You sitting on my crazy. Look around this place. My God, you can't find anything in this ministry got debt on anything at all. You think I'm crazy? Crazy. Yeah, I am crazy. You sitting on my crazy. You walking on my crazy. You driving out on my crazy. You understand? I may be crazy. I'm crazy rich. I'm crazy blessed. I'm crazy. Say what you want. If you think I'm an idiot, then how come you're sitting on a debt-free pew? How come you coming to a debt-free church? Glory to God. How come the founders are debt-free and everybody in this place is getting debt-free? If I'm crazy, you better want to be crazy.
You better want to be crazy. Just rub your butt on my crazy. That got your attention right there. Oh, yeah. That ain't arrogance. That's a fact. Look at this. It's debt free. Swing these cameras around. Get a shot of some of these jewels. Get a shot of some of these what do you call that thing? Stained glass. That ain't just stained glass. That's painted stained glass. That is artwork, man. That's done like in Europe. You understand? I gave that personally to this ministry.
Amen.
Call me crazy. Say what you want. Ain't nothing. Look at them cameras. That's millions of dollars in cameras right there. That's crazy too, but it is debt free. Yeah. Don't tell me. How did I do it? Because I'm better than you? No! I established in myself, God can't lie. I embrace it to everybody I can, then I implement and applicate. But if that's the right word, implementation and application. And I still ain't finished with my wants. Come on, baby. Lord, Lord. Oh, I done made you mad. If you cut me off, you're going to wonder what I'm going to say. You might as well leave me on. What I got, I'm living off the top of the barrel.
Yeah.
I know what's at the bottom. I can only breathe at the top of the barrel. I can only hold my breath so long at the bottom of the barrel. So I ask you today, I'm going into this now. Are you a bottom feeder or a top feeder? Oh. Oh. Let me say it again. You must say what you want instead of what you have. What you want is at the top of the barrel. What you have is at the bottom. Now let's go into this. If you are afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel, it is a sign that you're becoming a bottom feeder. You're eating the pollution of life. Let me say it again. If you are afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel, it is a sign you are becoming a bottom feeder. What is a bottom feeder? A scavenger. Now, you know, when I wrote this down, I was thinking about a good black preacher friend of mine. And I wrote it kind of weird. If you are, I said, if you are afraid to give God, I want to let you know, glory, about the top of the barrel. Oh, you ain't hearing me, Lord. I mean, Lord Jesus. I could hear it when I was writing it down for her. I said, go ahead. Now, a white preacher said like this, if you are afraid to give God glory, my top of the barrel. Don't make me laugh. I can't do it if you make me laugh. If you are afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel. If you're afraid to give God glory about the car God gave you. If you're afraid to give God glory about the Louis Vuitton purse God gave you. If you're afraid to give God glory about the clothes you wear and the house you live in and the food you eat and the blessing you are becoming a bottom feeder. That ain't bragging. That's embracing. That's application. That's implementation. And that is establishment. But if you got a bottom feeder mentality,
all right,
you got trouble. If you're afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel, it's a sign you're becoming a bottom feeder. Write this down. The further you go downward, the greater the pressure is. The further you go downward, the greater the pressure is. There ain't nothing wrong with bus ministry at church. But I'd prefer to believe God for them to get their car.
Yeah.
I think they would prefer to drive their own car than ride a bus. Nothing wrong with a bus, thank God. We can provide transportation. That's not the issue. But you see, that's where the church stops. And they bus them for 100 years.
Yeah,
bus them. And they're down at the corner. Help me. Help me.
Come on, doctor.
Well, we'll give you a ride. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. Sure, we'll give you a ride. That's not the issue. I'm not against the poor by no means. But my God, I will not finance poverty. I will eradicate poverty. I don't want you living with a cancer. I want you to get rid of your cancer. Poverty is a cancer. It's a killer. It destroys generations upon generations upon generations. And the church will, look at it, give it a camera. And the church will has financed it for millenniums. I will not do that. No. We're going to teach you how to get rid of this cancer. Not to just live with it. It's terrible. And yet it's so embraced by the church world, much less the secular world. Isn't that terrible? The Bible said two of you agree. Church is agreeing with the secular world. That's why you got so much of it. If you're afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel, it's a sign you're becoming a bottom feeder. The further you go down with, the greater the pressure is. Greater the pressure is. Have y'all know, I've had people tell me, Jesse, you're just not under pressure at all. Some of the biggest ministers in the country. You just, I don't see how you do it. Do you know I am not good enough to generate the money that it takes to operate this ministry? I wish I was that good. I'd be a hedge fund operator if I was. You know, on Wall Street or something, man. I'm not that good. And I don't even worry about it. How long have you been working for me, Joy?
7 years.
7 years. Have you ever missed a check?
Nope.
How long have you been working for me, Mary?
15 years.
You ever missed a check? Bro, how long have you been working for me?
20 years.
Have you ever missed a check? Kathy. She said, I didn't work for you. I was drafted. And she's never missed a check. Fritz, how long have you been working for me?
Almost 30 years.
Did you ever miss a check?
No, sir.
You ever worried about it?
No, sir.
You know why you didn't worry about it? Because your leader didn't worry about it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Why? Because two worries make a problem.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? How long have you been with me, Nate? 1 year. A little over 1 year. You ever missed a check?
Never.
Michelle?
Never.
Mm. Kenny, how long you been with me now?
11 months.
11 months. Glory to God. Have you ever missed a check?
No, sir.
Nicole?
4 years.
4 years. You ever missed a check? My girl here that takes care of all my partner services.
Almost 2 years.
You ever missed a check? Sean, you work for me. Have we ever held your check?
No, sir.
My man here. Sam, you ever missed a check? Anybody else want to work for me? Yeah. I love to hire 500 people.
Amen.
I'd have this place running 24/7. I already got it figured out. 6 to 2, 2 to 10, and 10 to 6. Shoot, man. I can go 24/7 in a second. Why? No pressure. No pressure. Write this down. The sign of going down is when the light begins to fade and the darkness takes over. The sign that you're becoming a bottom feeder, or you are a bottom feeder, is when the light begins to fade and the darkness takes over. Then you start believing for the worst. Well, you know, we ain't had a hurricane in quite a while. Guess we do one. Well, you know, my God, I better go get that flu shot, because if I'd known, I'm just going to get that flu. Nothing wrong with getting a flu shot. I'm not against people, medicine. I believe in doctors, Lord. Gee, hey, fighting the devil from the physical side, and I'll fight him from the spiritual side. Let's just this win. Nothing wrong with that. But my God, you believing for the Hong Kong flu and you live in New Orleans? Well, you know how long that virus has got to fly over that ocean to get to you? I got a long way, but you just believing for it. Some of you preachers! Well, you know, man, I tell you what, you know, when the summer comes, my finances go down. Boy, your faith works, doesn't it? You're a bottom feeder. You're starting to lose the light. You're starting to get in darkness. So now you begin to expect seasons of trouble. And if they don't come, you call them in. Is that sad? That ain't living off the top of the barrel. I punched a hole in the barrel. Because that only happens in a, you know, in the summertime in certain places. Watch this. Well, you know, the finances kind of go down. You know, I mean, you know, we can't have any kind of guest speakers at all around Easter and around Christmas because, you know, Christmas, you know, people use money to buy gifts and things. We just can't do that. My God, that ought to be time you ought to do more.
Yeah.
You ought to celebrate the resurrection and the birth of Christ more than any other days in the world. And I like to throw in Thanksgiving, too. Because that word Thanksgiving is pretty nice, son. Huh? That's the best word. That's the best word in any language. When you say thank you, that pleases people in any language. See, you start calling those things in. That means you're losing the light and you're going down. Are you going to suck off the bottom? You know, your car, when it sucks off the bottom of your tank, goes, why? Because it wasn't designed to eat off the bottom. The sign of going down is when the light begins to fade and the darkness takes over. Write this down. Oh, Lord Jesus. The longer you stay on the bottom, you begin to lose your eyes. After a while, you can't see. The longer you stay on the bottom, you begin to lose your eyes. Elisha's servant. Remember Elisha, the great prophet? 100,000 Syrian troops. And Elisha says, there's more with us than there is with them. And Gehazi. What's this? Now, he's working for the right guy. But he ain't listening to anything the guy says. He said, what'd you say? There's more with us than there is with them. Oh, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, 60, 70, 80, 90. One, two. And what did Elisha look at? See, he lost his eyes. He's become comfortable with darkness. The church world has become comfortable with tragedy. Never know what the Lord's going to do. They've become comfortable with sickness, disease, poverty, malice. Boy, that's sucking off the bottom now. What did Elisha say? God, open his eyes. My God. God opened his eyes. All of a sudden he sees angels and chariots all around, waiting a command, not from God, but from a man named Elisha. But you know, I don't doubt he probably is. Oh, that's too bright. Yeah, but you just saw how your life was protected. You see, the longer you stay on the bottom, you begin to lose your eyes. Now watch this. Write this down. The next generation that you produce will be born with no eyes. It's called the evolution of darkness. The next generation that you produce will be born with no eyes. It's called the evolution of darkness. You know, if you go down deep into the Atlantic, deep into the Pacific, you find fish with no eyes. Why? They evolved into total darkness. Mm-hmm. How many generations of welfare it takes before you have no eyes?
Come on, let's go. Amen.
And you're sucking food stamps. Thank God that we can have food stamps in the nation. But you know, you shouldn't be proud that you get them. You ought to be proud that you can produce them. That you can be blessed enough to take care of the government with taxes, that you can help people. But you see, after a while, the generations just begin to rely on the food stamps.
Amen.
A lady hit Kathy up the other day for some money. She said, I need 75 cents. Can you give me 75 cents? Now, Kathy thought, oh, and Kathy didn't have a change or anything on it. She kind of felt bad, you know. And so Kathy said, man, she's hungry. And she walked there. She said, I need my cigarettes. She wasn't looking for food. She's looking for cigarettes. You see what I'm saying? See, now you have evolved the generation that don't want to work, that don't care. Watch this. Oh, let's take the prayer out of schools. Let's take all this God away from us. Let's take God off of anything that publicly. And look what we got, ladies and gentlemen. Have we, in my generation, people never walked into schools with automatic weapons and killing people. You know why? Because their grandmas and their mamas were dragging their little butts to church. So you going to church whether you like it or not. And you're going to respect people whether you like it or not. And don't give me this poor stuff. I have one black guy say, let me tell you something about the black race. I said, I've studied many, many races. And the black race is one of the most phenomenal God ever created. Amen. Because when they were hanging you in Mississippi and when they were burning you and destroying you, you didn't blame God. You sang Amazing Grace. Yeah. Your grandma washed floors so she could send you to college. She did everything. What has happened to that generation?
Come on.
They had eyes. They were, let me tell you, you understand what I'm saying? That's what I love about the black race. My God, they didn't blame God for what the people were doing. They sang Amazing Grace while they were being hung, raped, stomped, kicked. It didn't bother. They taught their children about the word of God. They sang old Negro spirituals, whatever you want. No, they weren't Negro spirituals. They were spirituals. But, and kids grew up and you had a responsibility until the devil said, let's attack the grandmas and the fathers. Let's attack the family. And before you know it, you got gangs now that the only covenant they understand is, and they'll kill a 3-year-old child and they'll kill a 1-year-old baby. What is wrong? Let me tell you what's wrong, lady. Put it by my face. Let me tell you what's wrong. It's when the government gets God out of it, what terror begins to take place. You don't need religion. You want religion? Religion will kill you quicker than anything else. How do I know that? Al-Qaeda. They're doing that all in the name of God. Religion will kill you more than anything. But I used to see them old black ladies on the ground and they did anything. Cutting grass so their kids could go to school. I want you to live better than me. And you know what? Buddy, you called her yes ma'am and no ma'am. You didn't hear any of that kind of junk. And they talked about God. And whether you like it or not, you went to church. With your funeral fan. Hot, sweating like a mule. You didn't care. What happened? We closed malls on Sunday so people would go to church. We didn't have football on Sundays, ladies and gentlemen. We had it on Saturdays. Saturday in the park. Think it was the 4th of July. Yes, everything was done on Saturday. Why? So you could go to church. And what? You didn't see kids getting killed in schools. All guns were guns then. But the people were different behind the guns. You want to destroy a nation? Destroy the family. Because when a family is destroyed, the covenant is destroyed. The next generation that you produce will be born with no eyes. It's called the evolution of darkness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I realized something. Oh, may she come back. I say it in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I've had some people literally ask me this, Kenny. Brother Justin, how come you a preacher? A lot of women follow you. How come you ain't messed around with women? I ain't the ugliest man in the world. Look at me. You got to see it by faith. I mean, you know, why haven't I done that? I've had many opportunities to. Why haven't I done that? Not that I'm better, but let me tell you why. Because you see, Satan is the prince of darkness. He don't have no eyes. The only eyes he can use is mine, and I refuse to let him use my eyes. Only way he can't, he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. He has no eyes. He's the prince of darkness. So the only way he can lust or cause you to lust is by using your eyes. Or using your body members. No. He don't use my eyes. He don't use me. No. This belonged to me. Not that I'm better or I got more faith in anybody. Why? Well, first thing, I have a responsibility to you. I have a responsibility to Kathy. I have a responsibility to my daughter. I have a responsibility to my granddaughter. I have a responsibility to my family to live clean and be ye holy for I am holy. So I don't let the devil use my eyes. So I see some foxy mama, I don't sit there and go, No, see, he's using your eye. Why? He can't see her. When's the last time you heard a devil was wanting a woman? He don't want a woman, but he wants you. So he can only use your eyes. So don't let him.
Amen.
Don't let him use your members. Satan can't kill nobody. He wants to use you and your gun to do it. See, that's the evolution of darkness. What has evolved in America is when you got God out of us. You see what's happening? Huh?
Yeah.
Come on, think about it. All of a sudden, God's word means nothing. We call it modern times. No, it's the evolution of darkness. It's the blind leading the blind. They've fallen in the ditch. You didn't, 25, 30 years ago, you didn't hear children talk to their parents the way they do now. They won't embrace the problem. Most of these killers are crazy on these violent, bloody videos. Ain't touching that. You know why? Too much money. Too much money in pornography. Let's make a couple of porn queens some stars. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, I'm not against people. It's the evolution of darkness. It's producing generation, generation, generation. That's what happened to the country of Rome. When Rome began to degenerate, Rome was a phenomenal republic at one time. Then it became an emperor. Then it became so much a sin that it just destroyed people. And then eventually it destroyed itself. Isn't that amazing? See, that's living off the top of the barrel. You don't want to live on the bottom of the barrel. No. You don't want to. Why? Because God didn't make you a scavenger. Amen. The other day I went over to Marty's house and he cooked us some salmon and all kinds of stuff. And he got a pond back there with some fine looking fish. Now this fish you don't eat. You just pay for. I think that's how that works. I mean, they're fine. They're expensive. What do you call them? They're koi. I mean, buddy, now watch this. They must know I must be a giver. Or they must know that Marty and Michelle are givers. We walked into that pond. These fish almost got on top of the water. They stuck half their bodies out. Like, give me something, mister. I said, good Lord, did you feed them? Well, somebody fall in there. What happened? And I said that. And he said, his little dog fell in there. I went, oh, Jesus. His dog wasn't very big. One of them fish could take that dog out, you know. He said, no, they just kind of bumping around. They play a little bit. Well, when we got there, I'm telling you, they were out the water. I'm telling you, out the water. I mean, I thought, look at here. They think I'm a feeder. They knew where the food was. They went to the top.
That's it.
Ooh. See, I can preach on call. I caught that right away. I went, oh, Lord, I'm going to use that in my sermon. Glory to God. So you got to understand something about Jesse. If you see Jesse walking around like this, he's seen somebody doing that. You see what I'm saying? When you understand this, living off the top of it. See, on all the finances that come, God will bless you so much you won't even realize. It's amazing what God will do if you let him. If you let him. If you let him. But you got to establish. You have to embrace. And then you have to implement and apply. And the next generation we'll produce will be children with eyes and high morality. Amen. And you'll open up doors for a young lady. And she won't be just a piece of flesh to conquer. Amen. Isn't this amazing? So that's why I talk about some of the things that I talk about. It's not so I can brag. Ain't got anything to do with that. I'd prefer not to say anything, Dave, truth. But you know what? You know, God told me about my house. He said, I'm going to use it to provoke people. Oh, I said to myself, Lord, that's easy for you to say, Jesus. They can't see you. They just see me. But you know, things are getting easier. That doesn't mean the devil's quit. Don't misunderstand me. You gotta understand somebody. He's already lost everything, so he's just shooting now. Yeah. Just hoping he hits something. You see what I'm saying? But I made up my mind. I said, you know what? I'm gonna keep my barrel full. Amen. I do it by my giving. Yes. Yeah, my finances. Oh Lord. I don't think there's ever been a time that I've given a big donation away through the ministry or to myself personally, or not to myself, but to giving away personally myself, that the next week, finances slowed down. Mm. Like I said, the devil won't me to take that bait. Mm. That had nothing to do with it. But see, that's telling me, he's trying to say, you see that? Yeah, you made that mistake. No. He doesn't realize this, that seed, the value of a seed is greater than the value of a sale.
Come on.
There's nothing wrong with selling things. Don't misunderstand. Don't take that. Go flying off. You know, the words of God tell you, sell something, sell it. That's not the issue. But if he tell you to give it. It's so easy when all you got to do is write a check. It's so simple. I'll never forget some of the greatest words you ever told me. He said, I've never been to a place when you first came to work here, Nate. I've never been to a place that they don't sweat nothing. They just, Yeah. Why? I'm not a bottom feeder. I'm a top feeder.
Amen.
And I'm learning how to walk on the water. Whoa, whoa, wait. I'm getting this next week. Then I can work in two worlds. I can work in the top, in the outside world, and under. Glory to God. And it's just such a blessing when I can walk anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. When God tells me to do something, I do something. End the statement. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, you crazy. Well, you standing on my crazy. I mean, the contractor that built my house, Richie do that so people see that. Richie's the one who built that house. Blame him. No, he built that house. He didn't struggle with no money. Anytime he gave me a bill, boom, boom, boom. It was no problem. Richie said, that's one of the easiest things I ever did. Contractor that built this house, he said, I have built for 40 years. I ain't never worked for anybody in my life like you. Never had to struggle on a thing. Yeah. I give God glory. Same thing when they built my other house. All the people that I've ever built something, they said, man, you easy. Yeah. Why? It's my word. And do you know, and every contractor that I've ever worked with, you got to sign a piece of paper, you know, because they go buy stuff. Did I ever sign anything to you, Richard? Not one thing. I didn't sign it when I'm building it. This is millions and millions of dollars here, this whole ministry. I didn't sign anything. They said, that man's a man of his word. They didn't know what I had. Brother, they had no concept of what I had. But they saw something in me. You know what they saw? Establishment. Embracing. Implementation. Application. It's the track record. Yeah. And I refuse to eat off the bottom. And I'm going to keep my barrel full. In fact, I'm working on several barrels. Several barrels. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 13. Last week, I dealt with part one of this sermon. I was going to just give Covenant Church either September the 22nd or the 29th or whatever it was. And pastor said, I'll take both of them. And I said, oh, Jesus, man. Because, I mean, I'm working a lot, but I realized that God wanted to do this in a series, or at least in a two-part series, and God has been so good and gracious. So I'm going to go over a few things if you were here. So that way, if you missed some notes, you can get those. And then for those that are brand new, you'll understand what I'm saying. What I'm going to preach, and what I've been preaching last week and this week, is very controversial. Because the church world has been duped into believing that the lower you live in life, the more God's going to bless you. That the more you suffer, the more God will honor you. And that's simply not true. And that poverty is some people call it a holy vow of poverty. Let me tell you what God Almighty calls it. Calls it a curse.
Amen.
It's amazing to me how the church world has embraced and esteemed poverty, when the best thing you can do for the poor is not to be poor, because then you can help the poor.
Amen.
And that's truly a blessing of the Lord. But it's amazing how that has really permeated the body of Christ and all over the world. In fact, poverty is so blinding that you can be standing in opulence and still embrace it. And that's truly amazing. I was talking to a gentleman the other night. I said, have you ever been to the Vatican? He said, yes. I said, I have too. I said, this is probably the prettiest place I've ever been in my life. Saint, if you ever get a chance, if God ever allows you to go, it is something to see. St. Peter's Basilica is the biggest church in the world. It's phenomenal. And Peter, the first pope, they say, he can never say ever that silver and gold have I none. Because that place is amazing. And just the artwork in it is priceless. You have the La Pietà by Michelangelo. You think it's actually Mary holding Jesus coming off the cross. It's done in white marble, curved marble. It's the most amazing thing you ever lay your eyes on. And yet, people will say, we believe in poverty. That just don't make any sense. Then I realized something. They don't want the church to be poor. They just want you to be poor.
That's right.
Did you see that? Did you get that?
Yeah.
That was, they want the church wants some money. But you and I, they just don't get crazy with this thing. In fact, one time I was asked to preach, this the Vatican's phenomenal. They said, we want you to come and minister, Lord God. They said, but we know you have a private jet. We can't afford paying your fuel to go over, you know, to Rome and preach. And I couldn't get over it. I said, that's okay. You don't have to give me nothing. Just give me one of those statues. Yeah. I'll take one of them paintings. That'll be fine. which is in the hundreds of millions and millions of dollars. Just one piece, which is okay with me. Because I believe God's house should be phenomenal. But I also believe that your house should be phenomenal. Amen. How do I know that? Be ye therefore imitators of God. You just thought that was spiritual things? Think for a minute. He said, be ye therefore imitators of God. You think God living in a trailer? Nothing wrong with a trailer. I'm not knocking. But think about it. He said, we're just thinking in terms of spiritual. No, that's in everything. That's spiritual, physical, financial, power, manifestation, authority, every bit of it. In other words, it'd be really kind of shameful if you knew somebody that was filthy rich and their children were on welfare. Yeah. You would say, what kind of people are that? What kind of a parent is that? And yet, that's what the church has embraced. And that's sad. But God wants you to be like him. Amen. Yeah. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I know it takes time to sink. Because, you see, for 2,000 years, the devil sold that bag of goods to the church. So we dealt with on living off the top of the barrel. Amen. And we did part one. Let me run over that a little bit real quickly. Then I'll get into part two for you that are viewing. And thank you. You are watching all over the world today by our website and the internet. We just thank you for joining us today. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 says, and Abram went out from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now, verse 2, I'm going to use as my main text here. And Abram, or Abraham, was very rich. How rich was he?
Very.
How rich was he?
Very.
How rich was he?
Very.
In what? In cattle, in silver, and in gold. So, in other words, those are physical possessions. That's not spiritual things. Let me say that again. That's not spiritual things. I've never seen a spiritual gold bar. I've never seen a spiritual cow. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to quit pushing these things aside and start believing what the Word of God says instead of what people think it says. And Abram was what?
Very.
How rich?
Very.
How rich?
Very.
Is it in the Bible?
Yes.
How many of you believe the Bible? Okay. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, I said last week, to live off the top of the barrel, you must do three things. Number one, I told you to establish in yourself that God can't lie. I use the word establish, because once you're established in something, there's no one can change your mind, because you're established in it. In other words, you're foundational. It's yours. I told you that his word is always first place. The word of God must always be first place and never second place. I told you that first place keeps you full in every area. See, when you first, you don't have to wait on line. You don't have to wait in line. You just get in. You ever notice that? It's amazing, huh? I also told you that you can look at an empty wallet and see it full. How many times you've opened your wallet and you saw an abundance of lack? Did you feel good about it? Did you just rejoice? Oh, Jesus, thank you that I'm not going to eat today. No. I mean, even your body got enough sense to know that ain't right. Now, I'm going over what I said last week. I also told you that, number two, you must embrace to others what you have established in yourself. In other words, you just can't, if you establish in yourself, it's got to come out and you have to embrace it to others publicly. Now, someone will get mad at you about that, but that's not the issue. When you embrace that, you must do that. I said you must embrace to others what you have established in yourself. Embrace means you move beyond theology. Once you've established, there ain't nobody going to change you. You see, now you embrace what you have established, and you move beyond theology. Your past must not dictate what you are embracing. Just because your mom and daddy were on welfare don't mean that you have to be a generational welfare person. Just because your daddy was a drunk don't mean you have to be a drunk. Well, we're under the generational curse. Well, let me help you. Make a generational choice. You understand? Just make a generational choice. There are bad choices and good choices. All you got to do is make a choice. You see what I'm saying? I was telling you that last week. And then I said, your past will not dictate what you're embracing. Then I said, implementation. So you're establishing yourself that God can't lie. You must embrace to others what you have established in yourself. And implementation and application of these two will attract others to live off the top. You see, if you'll take the hundredfold with persecution. And I'm going to be dealing with that this part on part two in just a minute. The persecution part, you ought to be able to handle. But the persecution part, if you don't change your mind, you will literally physically draw people out of poverty and poverty thinking. You see, all of a sudden they'll begin to say, wait a minute. I've lived like this all my life and it ain't working. And every time a tragedy comes or something happens, if the washing machine breaks, we got to start hanging clothes on the line. When's the last time you see people hang clothes on the line? Well, that's when you can't afford to pay fix your dryer or fix your washing machine. You see what I'm saying? But once you understand, if you'll take the persecution of the hundredfold, you will literally draw people out of poverty. Amen. So that's implementation and application of these two will attract others to live off the top. I told you, you must say what you want instead of what you have. I don't know why people always go to God telling people, God, this is what I have. He already know that. See, I already know the clothes Kathy's bought. In fact, I went out of town and she went to Saks Fifth Avenue. What's wrong with that? I went preach Friday night and she went to downtown New Orleans, Saks Fifth Avenue. She said, I want to go buy something. I didn't go in. I don't have to go in the closet to find out what's new because I know the minute she buys something new, when I get back home, she's going to try it on for me. Amen. Amen. Now, see, I'm the exact opposite. I'll buy something and I may not wear it for 6 months. I'll stick it in the closet. Cat said, well, why don't you wear it? Well, when I get ready, I'll wear it. But not her. My God, she'll put it on at the store, and then she'll put it on at the house. And she'll walk around. I got back. I said, where's Kathy? I walked in. She was fully dressed, which was a little discouraging. But anyway, no. No, just a joke, kid. Hey, don't let the white hair fool you. I mean, she was fully dressed. Looks like $1 million. She said, what do you think? I said, ha-ha, yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it was nice. I also said that what you want is at the top of the barrel and what you have is at the bottom. You can't breathe very long. In fact, you can't breathe at all when you're on the bottom. I told you, if you're afraid to give God glory about the top of the barrel, it's a sign you are becoming a bottom feeder. I remember that preacher, Kathy, that preacher, I'll keep his name private. He bought an old police car and he would drive around so people wouldn't know he had a Lincoln Town car. Like as if he thinks people are stupid. But he actually did that. See, that is a sign of a bottom feeder. I told you the further you go downward, the greater the pressure is. See, the greater the pressure is. It'll make you a thief. You'll start stealing. Why? Because the pressure's so great. You got to eat. I told you the sign of going down is when the light begins to fade. And I'm going to speak a little bit more about that. And the darkness takes over. So y'all looking at your notes. I told you the longer you stay on the bottom, you begin to lose your eyes. Oh. If you notice that when you go out into the deep depths of the ocean, the fish have no eyes. There's no light. Isn't that sad? The next generation that you produce will be born with no eyes. It's called the evolution of darkness. I told you that the devil is so full of darkness that he has no eyes. What? What do you mean he doesn't have any eyes? He can't lust after a woman unless he uses yours. He can't see to steal something unless he uses yours. And the Bible says, do not yield your members to him. Do you know when you're committing fornication and adultery, what you're doing is yielding your members to an outlaw spirit. And you think it's just for pleasure for yourself. No, see, he don't want that woman. He don't want that man. But what he wants is you to go to hell. People say, I don't believe that. That don't change it. Whether you believe it or not, that don't mean diddly squat. You're going to stand before, you might get on a highway 310 and say, I'm driving 85 miles an hour because this road can take it. Well, you're going to get a revelation. I don't care if you don't believe that sign. They're going to say, excuse me, let me help you pay for this sign. Do you see what it makes no difference whether you believe it or not? That's the law. You understand what I'm saying? So when you see that, see, you produce a generation of the evolution of darkness. Satan don't want no woman. He don't want no man. See, but he wants you. So he uses your members. That's why Jesus said, crucify your flesh daily. Why? Because a dead member can't do nothing. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I dealt with that. Now, so I went over that kind of quick, and I'm going to deal a little bit more with that. And let me ask you again. And Abraham was what?
Married.
How rich was he?
Married.
So this is living off the top of the barrel, part two. Or part deux, if you want to say it in French. You know, part two. Now, I want you to understand this. I have been royally criticized because of my possessions in life. Nobody would ever tell you that. They won't tell you, those that criticize me, how hard I've worked for it. How much I've given to God, how many homes I've paid off, how many churches I've paid off, how many cars I've bought for people, how many hospital medical bills I've paid off, how many different things. I mean, I'm just naming just a few. They have no concept that I have put over $250 million, billion, you heard me, into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That could have been my money. Take it all, pay the taxes, and come out with $160 million liquid in the bank. I think I probably would be one of the biggest depositors at Chase, if not the biggest. You understand what I mean? But they ain't going to tell you that, see. They're just going to show you my house. I'm glad they showed you my house, because it's paid for. You see. Now, the reason why people say that's arrogance, cockiness. No, no, no. I've established, I embrace, and I implement.
Amen.
I am not a bottom feeder. You will not find that sign in me. I got eyes to see and ears to hear. So write this down if you're taking notes. It is possible to have a full barrel and still be living off the bottom. Just talking about living off the top of the barrel, part two. It is possible to have a full barrel and still be living off of the bottom. I call it depression mentality. I never forget years ago in a place called Zephyr Hills, Florida. Anybody know what Zephyr Hills, Florida is? I went and preached a meeting. And I like old cars, classic cars and things of that nature. And a 1955 Royal Crown Victoria Ford. Good God Almighty. Did you get me excited when I think about it? And it was kind of like this shirt and this top, hot pink. Oh, gee, that was a beautiful car with cream. Oh, that was a gorgeous car. And this old lady just gets out. And it looked like it was bought yesterday. I thought, man, I wonder who restored that car for her. But anyway, she just comes in and she was kind of, she had a little cane and everything. She was a little sweet lady, you know, and she walks up to my tapes. Now that's when we had tapes. We didn't have CDs and DVDs, and the tapes cost $2. Okay. All right. She comes in and she says, oh, I love your ministry. I'd like to have some of these tapes, but oh, they're so expensive. I felt so bad. I said, oh, geez, I would like to bless this sweet little lady. So I said, well, let me give you some. I said, what would you like? Oh, would you do that for me? Oh, I just can't thank you enough. So I'm picking some things, and the daughter walks in. She says, Mama, what you doing? She said, but Jesse is giving me some tape. She said, Mama, you got $49 million in liquid cash in a bank, plus all kind of property. But she said this, yeah, but you never know how long it's going to last. Well, it's going to last longer than that old crazy woman. I wanted to take back my tapes. Just slap her a little bit. Glory to God. That was the original car. That was her car. She had bought that in 1955. That was 1982. I mean, I think it had something like 7,000 miles on it. You see, now she had the top of the barrel experience, but she was living on the bottom. In 1968, I was a bank teller at Terrebonne Bank and Trust in Houma, Louisiana. I had a job for about 3 months. And a little lady come up to me, and this is when you had a passbook savings account. Remember that? You had was it 5%? I think they paid you 5% passbook. She says, oh, I said, I hate to withdraw some money out of my account, but I gotta buy some things. Young man, can you give me $50 out of my account? I said, yes, ma'am. I take it like this. And when I opened up the passbook, she said, ooh, I just hate to spend the $50. Lord. And when I opened up, there was $12,680,000 in the passbook. And I went, ma'am, what are you worried about? $50. Same thing. You never know how long it's going to last. She was living in a houseboat with no electricity. Now the top of the barrel's full. But what causes them then? Their money has become their security and their God. Write this down. Beware that money does not become your security and your God. See, that's called the love of money. Money's not a bad thing. It's when you fall in love with it and make it prime, the most prime thing in your life. That it, this is the only thing can save you. So it is possible to have a full barrel and still be living off of the bottom. Write this down. Self-control is required at every moment along the whole range of our habits. Self-control is required at every moment along the whole range of our habits and through the whole course of our life. There's something called self-control. Why do you lose weight? It's not because you're eating less. It's because you have now took control of yourself. And it's an automatic. It's just that simple. How do you get out of debt? Let me help you. Self-control. So let me say it again. Self-control is required at every moment along the whole range of our habits and through the whole course of our life. You see what I'm saying? So even today, even though I am living off the top of the barrel, I exercise daily, not just Sunday, self-control. Without sounding prideful or arrogant, I can go buy anything I want right now. Anything. That's not an overstatement. Anything I want. I just don't happen to want anything. Now you say, well, that must be a good position to be in. It is. It's wonderful. But write this down. You should never be defined by the money you have. You should be defined by the character you have. See, if you don't have character, you become a character. You see what I'm saying? You should not be defined by the money you have. You should be defined by the character you have. It's okay to live, drive something nice, fly something nice, I don't know, live in something nice, wear something nice, whatever you like. But it's when you begin to define yourself. And after a while, people begin to realize, we said in Cajun, you think yourself. Remember that? That man, he think himself. All of a sudden, you're looking down at people. When you should never look down, you should look even. Because God created us all equal. Including the Constitution of the United States, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Isn't that something? And yet, I'm surprised that we had slavery when we had our Constitution saying the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. You see, that's living off the top of the barrel. You got power, but actually you're on the bottom, even though you have the possessions and all to operate and function on the top. So self-control is required at every moment along the whole range of our habits and through the whole course of our life. Now write this down. Beware of getting used to living under pressure. Bottom feeders think that is normal. Beware of getting used to living under pressure. Notice the deeper you go in the water, the heavier the pressure is. And remember this now. You can't breathe when you're on the bottom. You can only just hold your breath so long. You breathe only at the top. You understand? Why? Because you're a person that breathes air. I'll never forget when I met Kathy, I was a lifeguard. And one of the tests it was to get your lifeguard certificate was when you got to the top of it, not just learning to be an intermediate, but I mean when you could be physically, licensed as a lifeguard, we had a 12-foot diving pool. Okay. There, it was at Legion Park swimming pools. It was a 12-foot pool. All you did was dive in this pool. So what they would do, is they would turn you around like this. The pool would be back here where the platform is. So I would be this way. They would take a brick and they would wrap it up in a blue towel because everything in that pool was blue. And they'd throw it into that pool and let it sink and wait till the water kind of stopped. And then you had 30 seconds to find that brick. 30 seconds. If you couldn't find that brick, you didn't get that license. Because see, in 30 seconds, somebody can die on you. And I remember they'd say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. I dove in up and you got to look. And so how do you find something that fades into the atmosphere or into the surroundings? You look for what's out of line. If you want to know you're a bottom feeder, I can tell immediately, I can look at you and you could be perfectly camouflaged, but there will be something out of line. For example, if you're a hunter, you can be full. I mean, the woods are full, but all of a sudden you might see an ear. You can't see the deer. Just something out of line. Whew. And if you're on a horse, listen to your horse, because he knows where the deer is. Why? Because he's an animal. Watch his ears. I promise you, buddy, when he does this, you start looking. You're going to find something. Isn't that amazing? People taught me to hunt that way, because we'd go up in the Colorado mountains up 10,000 feet, and I'd go, man, I can't see nothing. And Jerry, who's now in heaven, he'd say, Jesse, watch your horse. Look at your horse. Man, I just look at that horse, and that horse would go, and one ear, oh, baby, come on, just move. All of a sudden, maybe this much of a ear that looked like a leaf. See, a leaf will do this. A leaf don't go. You see what I'm saying? And then you're going to come home with some meat or with a trophy, whatever you're hunting. So beware of getting used to living under pressure. Bottom feeders thinks that's normal. See, that's why they adopt poverty. It's become normal to hold your breath for life. It's become normal to be stooped over and pressurized. It's become normal, especially in South Louisiana. Well, you know, we live in hurricane country. Look like we ain't had one in a while. Well, why don't all of them go to your house if you like them that much? See, I watched the Weather Channel today. They said, there's something in the Caribbean. They call it invest. I ain't investing in that. Do you see how sly that is? Invest 97-L. I ain't investing in that. Yo, stay close. Keep watching us, because it could. Even though they just told you 3 minutes that the whole Gulf is full of dry air. We got fronts coming down. But, you know, see, they're trying to pull you in. Invest. Yo, mama, I ain't investing in nothing, especially in a hurricane. Why would you call in something you don't want? And yet people do it every day. See, when you're living off the top of the barrel, you don't invest in the bottom. In fact, if you're going to drill in the bottom, you act the top when you start drilling. You still stay on the top. Let's call it, you know, an offshore deep water well. You know, you're up at the top. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't invest in those things. So beware of getting used to living under pressure. Bottom feeders think that it's normal. Now, in Judges chapter 7, I want to get on this. There was a man named Gideon, and I spoke a little bit about that last Sunday. Now, watch. There was a man named Gideon, and he wanted to help Israel. He realized that God was going to use him to save a nation. Now, you know, you feel pretty good when you got 32,000 men. And you're going out to fight these people. 32,000, pretty good army, especially if they're trained. But the Lord said, you got too much. What? Because of the 32,000 men, 31,700 of them were bottom feeders. And God said, leave them people on the other side. All you need is 300. Now, 300 don't make much sense. But when you got 300 guys that can flat do some things, it's amazing. He, out of 32,000 men, he had 300 top feeders. Top of the barrel people. Now people say, well, that's just not enough. Oh yeah, it is enough. You're not by yourself. One angel in the Bible, your guardian angel, everyone's got one. Do you know his name? You never thought to ask, did you? If he's your guardian angel, you ought to know who's guarding you. Amen. Look at y'all. Amen. It's amazing. People just go through life, you know, whatever. No. You just never know what God's going to do. Read the book. Have fellowship with God. Watch this. One angel in the Bible knocked down 185,000 men. One. Think about the 12 legions of angels that Jesus said, I can call more than 12 legions of angels to handle this situation. You've heard me say it. You know how many men would have died? 20,400,000,000 men would have bit the dust. And the world has not known that population. But Jesus was superior to power instead of driven by power. Amen. Why? Because he was a top feeder. Amen. He lived off the top of the barrel. You want me to prove it to you? You ever heard Jesus say this? Won't you help me? Won't you help me? Lord Jesus, help me. I tell you what, if y'all don't give today, we can't go to Capernaum. We just ain't going to be able to see mama. No. Mm-mm. Oh, watch this. And Jesus was so poor. Really? When?
When?
That's right.
When did you hear him say, Peter, we ain't eating tonight? They're trying to get rid of people. And Jesus said, don't send them away. You feed them.
You feed them.
Lord. See, that's a person living off the top of the barrel.
Amen. Amen.
Look, when they're gambling for your clothes when you're dying, you're the top of the barrel, boy.
That's it.
You understand what I'm saying? Think about that. When's the last time you enjoyed shopping at St. Vincent de Paul? Nothing wrong with St. Vincent de Paul. Great place. I mean, it can help you, you know, or Goodwill. How many times you went to put some stuff in there for poor people and there's somebody waiting for you to leave so they can steal it? Never thinking, you know what? They don't need to go to that bucket out there and get that stuff. They could actually go to a store and buy something that no one's ever worn. Think about that. But you see, they're so used to being on the bottom that when you talk about living on the top, that ain't right. That can't be right. No, it is right. It's so right that you blinded by the darkness of the bottom.
Amen.
Out of 32,000 men, God said all you need is 300. And if you read the rest of Judges chapter 7, you'll find out that they won that battle. It was one of the most amazing things. 300 against thousands. Isn't that amazing? See, because I like what Muhammad Ali used to say when he was, you know, he's fighting. If people say he brag all the time. And one guy said, well, it ain't bragging if you can do it. And he could do it. He could flat do it. But he didn't meet his match. They were perfectly matched, in my opinion. And that was Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. It's a miracle God, both them men didn't die in that ring. They almost beat each other within 1 inch of their lives. But somebody got to be a champion. I heard Muhammad Ali say it himself. He said, if Joe wouldn't have come out, I was quitting. He said, I just lasted 2 seconds longer than he did. They were so totally exhausted. See, but champions they always give their best. Always. The great Enrico Caruso, the great Italian opera singer in the 1900s. He was asked to sing at a little, I wouldn't call it a birthday party, but a little reception. He sang like they couldn't believe. I mean, he just sang like he was at the Metropolitan Opera. I mean, people were just crying. And his manager said, Enrico, you don't have to sing that hard. And he looked at his manager and said, that's why you are manager and I'm the star. He said, when I sing my best all the time. Well, let me make this announcement. Might make you mad. I live off the top of the barrel. And I live my best all the time. That means let the persecution come. They can say what they want, do what they want, whatever they want. It don't make no difference. I am going to give God glory in my spiritual life, my physical life, and in my wallet life. Or in my financial life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, so in other words, and all of a sudden, 31,700 men just sitting there and 301 and Gideon wins this battle. Now, who are we talking about this morning? The 301.
Yes, that's right.
See, because you don't remember losers.
Right.
How many spies came out to spy the land for the nation of Israel?
12.
How many came back with a good report? How many came back with a bad report? What were the names of the guys that came with a bad report? What was the name of the guys that came back with a good report? Oh, is that amazing? See, you always remember winners. You see what I'm saying? That's called top of the barrel. Now write this down. We must be masters of ourselves, of all our appetites, and of all our desires. You have to be a master of yourself. If you can't master yourself, you cannot master anything in life. Do you understand that? You have great power in your life. You have the ability to say yes and the ability to say no in every area of your life. Now, I'm just teaching you this morning. I could get really screaming loud, preaching, you'd be shouting, but I want you to learn something. How many of y'all want to live off the top of the barrel?
Amen.
I think it's time. You certainly deserve it.
Amen.
You certainly deserve it. My God, man. You see, but you got to master yourself. And the hardest person to master is not the person you think is coming up against you, is yourself. See, what do you believe about yourself? See, let me just say this without sounding prideful or arrogant. I know what I can do. But you see, that's not enough. I got to stretch to see what new horizon I can reach. What new thing or new area that I could possess. You see what I'm saying? Because you got to be careful. After once you've been blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, then you want to sit down and let angels drop grapes in your mouth. No. Because you see, there's a generation coming after you that you ought to be helping, so they won't have to work as hard as you do. And then they're going to produce for the next generation. Because every person's work must be a continuation. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when you're a bottom feeder, you become a crab, a scavenger, and a buzzard. You'd rather feed below than rise above. Yeah. You see, and if you notice something, all these bottom feeders, they just eat the bad trash of the world. Don't you like eating things that are fresh? Amen. Isn't that mean? You want something fresh. You know, they say, you ever heard this? Freshly frozen? One time, I'll never forget this. I've never forgot this. This is probably 40 years ago. We went to a grocery store, me and Kathy, and he said, freshly frozen French fries, crinkle cut. We bought a bag. We thought, man, this ought to be nice. Do you know there was no potato inside the potato?
Yeah,
it was hollow. I don't know how they made them crinkle fries. I went, because when you fried, it just blew apart. There was not a piece of potato inside the thing. But it was freshly frozen. I wanted to bring the whole bag and say, where's the potato? There's supposed to be some potato in there. You know what I'm saying? Some potato. Yeah. No. There was none. Zero. Now, I don't know how they got that done. I don't know if they flash froze it or they reamed the thing out. Now, I can understand how you can cut something out. Because one of the best things I've eaten in my life was a pool boy that they took the bread out. Took the bread out of the inside of the pool boy. Cut the top, reared it, and they filled it up with crawfish etouffee.
Oh, come on now.
And when you grab that thing, and then they put the stopper back on the bread. That was in Lafayette, Louisiana. And you went, watch my face. Ecstasy. I've never eaten a whole po' boy in my life. I ate that po' boy. It was, and the juice was running in the, y'all getting hungry, ain't you? And the juice was running in that, it was great. And they had all kind of different kinds. They had all kind of, y'all going to Lafayette, where that place? I mean, they had all different kinds. They had a shrimp Creole po' boy. You know, you got shrimp Creole. But they put it in the bread, Lord Jesus. Me and Kathy, we love Cajun food. We almost killed ourselves one time eating a piece of boudin. On the I-10, coming back to Baton Rouge. Man, we left Lafayette. Kathy said, oh, let's get some of that boudin. Boy, that's the kind with the leaking, it's leaking down your arm, and you got your paper towels. See, people all over the world don't know what we're talking about. Boudin. Boudin is godly. It's sent from God Almighty. It's wonderful. It's just great. That's called living off the top of the barrel. This is high quality pork. So I gave Kathy a link. She gave me, and I was trying to bite. Finally, I couldn't bite it the way I want. I just took my hands off the steering wheel. I went off of this and Kathy going. Could you imagine if we'd have died? Evangelist Jesse the Plain, worldwide minister, died with a piece of boudin hanging out of his mouth with his wife's finger like this. Grease all over. Finally, we just pulled over on the side of the road, like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Let's eat this boudin. It was great. It was wonderful. I can't believe I told y'all that story. But that was a great time. Where's where I want to get to this. A top feeder must be dominant in spirit. Write that down. A top feeder must be dominant in spirit, who holds his flesh in habitual and iron control. Holds his flesh in habitual and iron control. He will not allow his flesh to rise. A top feeder must be dominant in spirit. You see what I'm saying? And, so you can get it again, who holds his flesh in habitual and iron control. What does that mean? As you begin to ascend, when you start getting off the bottom, he said, I want to become a top of the barrel person. Watch this now. And I want you to write this down because I'm going to put these two points together. When you start to rise, to a top feeder, you must be aware not to go up too quickly or you'll blow up. See, because you've been in a different environment for many, many years. See, that's what I mean by being in a dominant spirit, so you can habitually controlling yourself. Habit forming. Because if you rise too quickly, money will control you. You will look down on people. You won't want to associate with people who were friends with you. Think about that. You watch this. You'll get to a point where your nose gets hot. And then now you're buying things to impress somebody.
All right, Doc.
And you're walking in a braggadocious, if that's the right word, I'll just use it, calling it, in a braggadocious spirit. I have a friend of mine, he says this all the time. Let me tell you something about Justin Planus. I'll tell you who it is, Happy Caldwell, and Agape Fellowship in Little Rock, Arkansas. He said, you would never know that man's wealthy unless you look at his jewelry. He said, Jesse, you would, And I don't mean that privately, but you see what happens is as I begin to rise spiritually, physically, and financially, I realized that as I rose higher, it didn't make me better. It just let me live in a different environment. I mean, my skin didn't turn to gold. You know, all of a sudden, I didn't become a multifaceted diamond so you could just, ooh. No. Actually, what I did is kept my eyes not on the bottom, but on the God that caused me to rise. You see what I'm saying? So when you start to rise to a top feeder, you must be aware of not going up too quickly or you'll blow up. You see what I'm saying? I mean, literally, and I've seen that happen. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, why did it take you so long to build your home? Most of the churches I went to, when finances began to come in the ministry, they built their house. The last thing that was ever built was mine. I built God's house.
Amen.
You understand? I wanted to build God's house. I had some people, they were disappointed. They said, man, we thought you were, and I had a nice home, don't misunderstand, but they said, we thought you were just, whoa, wait. No, I said, well, no, we're building the house of God. I wanted God to be first. See, the Word must be first. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I seen the house that you know about that I get criticized for. But I didn't see it that big. Now, watch this. And when God began to bless it, I went and preached. And I'll never forget, I never go to hospitals. Not that I don't want to, but that's pastoral duties. And, you know, usually I'm traveling. But I was eating lunch with a pastor friend of mine. And he said, Jesse, I got to stop by one of my... I'll call it parishioner, so you'll know, since all of us come from a Catholic state, the state of Louisiana. He said to stop. And so he said, it's just going to be a minute or two, and then we'll go on to lunch. I said, okay. Now, I'm living good. I'm flying a corporate jet, and I don't mean that pridefully. I mean, God, I'm doing good. As he drove up, you know, he said, I'll just be out. He jumps out of his car, and he goes, and it was a mobile home, a trailer with a room built on it. Okay? Well, just a room built. And so I just looked at that. And all of a sudden I went, wow, that's my mama. My mama and then my dad and my mother lived like that until finally I got them a nice home. Make a long story short, I opened up the door, got out the car. And this is when the cyclone fence, you wasn't in the back. You covered the whole lot. Remember in those days, boy, that was classy if you had a cyclone fence, you know, especially down here, you know. So I just walked up and I knocked on the door and opened it up and Pastor said, oh, but just, I apologize. Was I taking too long? And it was an old couple. She must have been 78. He must have been 80 years old. I said, hello. Oh, Brother Jesse, thank you. Would you like to come in? I said, I'd love to come in. I walked in like that and the pastor said, well, we're going to be leaving in about a few seconds. I said, y'all got anything to eat?
Amen.
You see, Nate, I was home. I went, it was like, I remember my grandma. Now, they're all in heaven now. You know? I went, so I sat and I said, oh, yeah, we always got something to eat. You could eat off these people's floor. This place was clean. The one thing about my mother's place, my grandma's place, you could eat off the floor. I mean, bugs couldn't walk. It's too slippery because it's just too clean. You know what I'm saying? I said, y'all got something to eat?
Yeah. Oh, we always got something. And I noticed when she came out, had them little pots because there was just two of them. And that food was so good. Grandma would cook them little petit pois. You know what petit pois are? With lunch meat. Y'all have no idea what I'm doing. It's called poor. But it tastes so good, Lord Jesus. And so she gave me that. I said, I'll take some more of that. Boy, I'm mad. I said that. And Pastor said, oh, but we're going to go eat lunch. He said, I said, you know, Sid, why don't you go ahead and do your business? I'm going to stay here. So I finished eating. I said, you got a bedroom I can take a nap? She said, oh, yes, I do. I said, pick me up tonight for service. That's it. I mean, I stayed there the whole afternoon. I took a nap. I never met these people before in my life. It was wonderful. I didn't say, oh, no. I got to be at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. I got to have the master suite. I mean, just, no, I was home, baby.
Yeah.
I was raised like that. I was home. So they can't pick me up. I enjoyed myself. I said, I hope I didn't overstep. Oh, no, you sweet little thing. You come here anytime you want. I said, I will. And those people passed away about, I don't know, I guess a year and a half ago, something like that. And that made their day. They talked about that almost every day. Do you know who slept in my house? Asked at who took a nap in my house, who stopped. I was like my mother was there, like my grandma was there, and all that kind of stuff. And I could see he sit there, and sometimes a little something would come out of his mouth, and his wife would be walking by, and she'd just wipe his mouth, you know. You know, as you get older, the woman just take over. Man ain't got a chance. He just take over. He just sit there. Just about. If your hair get out of the way, they spit on it and then lick it off your head. I mean, it don't mean the man just go. Don't make no difference. Now watch this. I call that a top of the barrel experience.
Amen.
It had nothing to do with my possessions. It had to do with the happiness and the peace, which is absence of anxiety that was in that home. I was back at 7 years old and 8 years old. Man. And you know she cooks up. They always eat a little early. You know, older people eat a little earlier than most people. And she said, "You want to taste?" I mean, well, he didn't put it in. He tasted that out the pot. I said, "Yeah, yeah, let me have that." And I looked over there and I saw a cold, cold bucket of water with a dipper. Do y'all remember that? Man, I guess I'm going back too far. Look at the young people. A what? A dipper. And you didn't take it, put it in the water. You take the dipper. Drink it, and it was metal, which made it even colder. God, it was a wonderful day for me. And when I got back to my hotel that night, the Lord said, "Enjoyed your day, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I appreciate that." He said, "You made their day." I said, "No, Lord. They made my day." You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know some people that as they do better financially, I ain't never going back to that. Say, why not? They were good people before you had money. Would make some bad people since you got money. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You see what I'm saying? Now, I want you to listen to this. When you start to rise to a top feeder, you must be aware not to go up too quickly or you'll blow up. Now, how many of y'all, and I want you to, don't lift your hand if you're not going to do this. You're going to start believing now for more than enough finances. It's called financial free worry zone. Now, watch this. Finances or the few you burn in an economics world. You should have money. Now, you ain't hearing a preacher say that. People going to be mad at me. You should have money. Why? You're married. You need to take care of your family. It takes money to do that. It takes money to eat. It takes money to buy clothes and things of that nature. You understand what I'm saying? So finances is the fuel that you burn in an economic society. Now, let me tell you something. When I was born, when I was raised very poor. The vision of that house that's now a physical reality, I saw it when I was sleeping in an 8-foot-wide, 32-foot trailer on the floor. Me and my oldest brother, Wayne. On the floor. You understand? That's it. That's all we had. I remember mosquitoes eating my mama's legs up when she would hang clothes because we didn't have a washer and a dryer. Didn't have any of that. I remember Christmas, I was so excited to get an orange and an apple and a big time candy bar and a purple wrapper. Anybody remember that? You remember the butternuts?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, look at all the poor people. Oh, man, to get something like that. My God. I remember I got my first actual toy when I was 9. Yes. I got a car that was remote control. I just thought I done went to heaven. I was so excited. But by the time I got about 9, Dad and them began to do a little better. You understand what I'm saying? But it was rough. But you know what? That was some good times. I remember we had sweet corn bread to eat as a dessert. Not hot chocolate, cocoa. Boy, if you had some Bosco, oh, son, you are top of the barrel person. Remember Ovaltine? I was, oh, and you know what? I was a happy child. I was. And as I begin to, God bless me, I never lost that, and I never will. So how many times Kathy has said this? She said, Jesse, I mean, if I'm with a bunch of people and they want this room, y'all can have it. Jesse, you don't want to pay for that. You don't want to. I said, it's okay, Kathy, we'll take this. How many times we'd go on vacation and with some people, and we paid for the for the suite, for the condo and everything. So we should have the master. Nothing wrong with it. How many times I said, people say, oh, I love this room. Well, you can have it. One fact, I did that to a couple here one time. We went to Hawaii. I had this beautiful suite, but they had children. Okay, I had this suite, man. And I saw that they had kids. I said, why don't y'all go ahead and take our room? We'll take the other. We'll just take the room with the 2 double beds. Oh, no, budget. We can't let you do that. Oh, yeah, we can. And she got pregnant. And every time I see that child who's now, what, 15, 18 years old, younger, I say, it was because of me you came into the world. That's a true story. Yeah. And Kathy said, you going to give up your suite? Well, yeah. And me and Kathy didn't mind. We were just glad we were there. That's what it means when you know how to handle the top of the barrel experience. Nothing wrong with having the best. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean that you're willing to just say whatever. Not my will, but thine be done. Even though you have all total rights to walk in that. You just want to be the blessing God wants you to be. See, once upon the top, there is no pressure at all. You're now living like God wants you to live. Look at me. This is how I'm living. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I went to heaven today, my lifestyle, sir, would not change. I'm going from one mansion to another mansion. Amen. A lot bigger one. I'm sorry. I hope that didn't make you mad. I got a big island. Wait till you see mine in heaven, Lord Jesus. It'll take you 2 weeks to get through it. You're going to have to walk on gold streets to get to it. You're going to have to walk through pearly gates to get to it. Amen. The foundations are diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, and ruby. Jesus. God's a top of the barrel God. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what? Watch it. Jesus, he became poor that you might become rich. That tells you that that was a man that lived at the top of the barrel. He said, okay, you can have the suite. He said, I'll become poor so that you might become rich. The church world don't want to talk to you about that scripture, but it's there. See, that proves to you that Jesus is who he was. He said, it made no difference to me. You can't go eat at that Zacchaeus house. Watch me. Zacchaeus, come down. The boy had so many problems that literally drove him up a tree, you know. Just drove the boy up a tree. He said, I'm going to eat at your house. Pharisee said, yo, man, I don't. Oh, he's a tax collector. But that made no difference to Jesus. Why did he buy Jesus? Why didn't it bother Jesus? He was the taxpayer. He paid his taxes. It didn't bother Jesus. No, so he left the riches of the universe so you could be a top of the barrel person. So you could say, you like that car? Yeah. Give it to him. Write a check. Here. Now let's go eat lunch. We went to Hawaii about 4 years ago, man. And Kathy was, we passed this Louis Vuitton store and she just stopped. I stopped. Because I knew that's a sign. She said, let's buy, and I'll keep that person. Let's buy her a purse. I said, well, I don't know what to buy. Go in and get it. She said, well, which one do you think I should get? I said, Kathy, I don't know. I don't know what ladies like. I don't know. Some kind of stuff I like. Maybe they may not like it. But y'all pretty good at it. And we bought it. I don't know how many people we have taken to Hawaii that I spent more money on the people than I did on myself. Now, every once in a while, which was like this year, I was with Jerry Savelle and Carolyn Savelle. Oh, watch this. I'm going to tell you this now. And Kathy, they all like to go to the Ala Moana shopping mall. The Ala Moana, if you ever been to Honolulu, you ain't seen a mall like this. Especially the third floor. They call it it's the stop off of the Asian market and the American market. I mean, you got everything you can think of is there. So I didn't want to go down there. Kathy said, well, you're going to stay in a room here? Yeah, I'm just going to mess around. I said, I'm going to watch a little television. I said, I'll meet y'all for lunch. She said, okay. That's what good. When we go on vacation, there ain't nobody in a bind. You know, you want to go do something, go do something. You know, you want to go play golf? I'm not a golfer. I don't golf. But go ahead. That's all right. You know, oh, if I want to do something, I want to ride a motorcycle. Well, we don't ride. Well, I'll see you after a while. You know, we enjoy ourselves. So I'm watching. I turn on the television. I'm just watching. I see LeBron James. And LeBron dress well, you know. I mean, the brothers dress well, you know. Especially basketball guys. You know, I mean, they all fully dressed. No suits and everything. And he does this. He's got one of these. I said, I ain't got a white watch. I'm going to buy me a white watch. I got up. I started walking down Kalakaua Avenue. I come to the Chanel store. There's $1 million watch. This is not it. But I mean, there's $1 million watch. They said, oh, Reverend, they knew me. Oh, why don't you try on this watch? They want me to buy that watch. Do you know I could have bought that watch? I wouldn't have lived long. Kathy would have shot me if I'd have bought that watch. But that's $1 million. I ain't never put $1 million watch on in my life. They said, boy, it looks good on you, Reverend. I said, yeah, it does, but I didn't come in for that. I said, I want one like LeBron James. I want a white watch. So I'm sitting there, and I like it. I said, but I don't want one of them skin because I don't want it to be feminine. I want it to kind of be thicker. He said, yeah, I can get you a chronometer or whatever you call it. So is this watch, you know? I said, that's what I want. All of a sudden, Kathy comes. She said, what you doing? I said, and I could hear bags rustling, so I knew they'd been shopping, you know. I said, I'm at the Chanel store here. Watch this, living off the top of the barrel now. I said, I think I'll take that one. Yeah. So they're putting it on. I said, I'm at the Chanel store. She said, what are you doing at? I said, I saw LeBron James. She said, who's that? I said, well, that doesn't make it. They're just a basketball player. And he had a white watch. I'm buying me a white watch. You are? I said, yes, I am. She said, well, that's your birthday gift. I'm buying it for you. Pay for it. What's wrong with that picture? I said, I am. I said, listen, there's $1 million watch here. She said, leave that alone. I said, all right, I will. She says, are you going to wear it? I said, well, no. I was going to put it in the box. Put it on. Wear it, Jesse. Every time you buy something, you go store it for 6 months. Wear it. Meet us at the Cheesecake Factory. I want to look at what I bought you. I said, okay. Now watch this. I had on a pair of Honolulu, hang loose, you know. I had on aloha shirt and shorts and white tennis shoes and stuff. And the white, I'm walking, so I got this watch on. So I'm walking like this, and people said, man, that watch look good on you, sir. You got the hair for that watch. I said, what did you say? You got the hair for that watch. Woo, man. And this kid come around and said, Grandpa. And this lady goes, she said, I wish I was your grandpa, but that's not your grandpa. So I finally get over to the Cheesecake Factory, and sure enough, they all show up. And they said, let me see it. And I said, yeah, I kind of feel like LeBron. Let me see if I can, but white men can't jump. But I mean, you know, maybe I can, you know, all I kind of, I'm just looking at it like that. And then I said, are y'all going back to the mall? Went back to the mall. I said, y'all got anything that matches that watch? They said, well, we got this. I said, give me that. Yeah. So I said, kind of Google the guy. What do you think? I said, it ain't too feminine, huh? Because I don't want people to go, oh. No. Don't send me no ugly letter. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get mad at me now. Now, that's the first time I actually went out and just bought me something. I very seldom ever do that because Kathy has to push me, you know, because I got everything I want. I'm not bragging on that. So I live off the top of the barrel. God's been good and gracious. And you think I'm going to make an excuse for that? No. No. You see, because you see, I can breathe. You think I got real angry because people criticized? No. See, because of 100-fold with persecution. I said, I must be doing something right because I'm being persecuted. So let me just backstroke a little bit and just breathe and enjoy my life and be the blessing I want to be. And I went to the seafood pot to tell you a few stories. I said, we learned something about crabs, seafood pot. They got the number ones and the number twos, but they got something called magnums. Magnums is the kind that they catch those at the Waterford nuclear plant. Them crabs are huge. But that's some big crabs, man. I mean big. So there's this black lady that's ahead of me, if you've been to seafood park. So I'm just standing in line, you know. And there's a little black fella. He must be about 9 or 10 years old. And so I just turn around and look, and I see him. He goes, he smiles. I went, he goes. He's a sweet little fella. Good little, I don't know who he is. You know, I don't know these people. And they said, let's get some crabs. And it was the daughter and the mama, grandmother. Let's get some crabs. And she said, yeah, I want them big crabs. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, do you know they got magnum crabs here? I said, yeah, you see that sign right there? It says magnum. She goes, oh God, I can't afford that. That's $6 a crab or something like that, whatever. You know, that kind of, whatever. She said, I can't afford magnum crabs. You know, she said, I'm going to tell you. I said, whoa, you try the magnum crab. You'll enjoy that. I said, I'm telling you. Oh, I just can't afford that. That's just way too much. She wouldn't ask me for that. They're about ready to give it the number ones. I said, here's $60. Buy you a dozen. I think it was $54 a dozen, something like that. Or $60, I can't remember. She goes, you got to be kidding me. I said, ma'am, I don't kid. But I don't know you. I said, you don't need to know me. You just need to know them crabs. You don't need to know me. That don't mean nothing. She said, are you serious? And the little lady, she said, he does that all the time. I said, you enjoy them crabs. Well, man, and just so happened, Kathy sat by a table where they were. You know, if you've been in, and man, you could hear him eating, and that little boy smiling. I said, you like your crab? They said, we can't thank you enough. I said, no, that's all right, enjoy your crab. I said, that's a blessing. I'm glad you got to do it. Now, I could have, people said, I'm showing off. No, I could have kept the $60 in my pocket. But when you live off the top of the barrel, you never, what I'm about to say here is going to shock you now. You never have to worry about using it all up. It's growing while you spend it. You can't spend it all. You run out of ideas. And then you turn into what I call a top of the barrel giver. My God, everything is in your hands and you're thinking, bless the Lord Jesus. Let's go bless the work of God. Let's go do something for God. Let's go do that. And it was so wonderful to see that lady eat them crabs. As I got up, she said, sir, I just can't. I said, man, did you enjoy the crab? I'm glad you did. And then last night we went to eat with Richie and Tammy. And Richie, he said, hey, yes, I ordered some magnum crabs. I said, okay. But we got there a little early. So I said, warm up them crabs. He said, we'll be there in 3 minutes, whatever. So I had them on the table and everything. And we were eating good. We had corn on the cob and a little sausage and, you know, the crabs. I got. And Richard said, I was supposed to pay for that. I said, somebody paid for it. I didn't lie, Sean. I didn't tell him it was me. I just said, somebody paid for it. I said, so let's eat.
That's it.
So, man, they had the juice running down their own, boy, popping them crabs, all that kind of stuff. Glory to God. See, somebody paid for it. I'm not lying, it's telling the truth. You know who paid for it? With me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that blessed us for making us top of the barrel feeders, top of the barrel experience. Now, I am believing God for every one of you that's hearing this message for you to begin to rise. But remember, as you rise, don't go too fast, because you have to acclimate to these different pressures. See what I'm saying? And leave all the trash in life down at the bottom and come up to the top, and then be the blessing God called you to be. Be the blessing God wants you to be. Are y'all enjoying this morning? When you, let me help you. Makes no difference what color, nationality. Let me help you. Makes no difference what kind of job you have. You know what your job's given to you for? Not to make you rich. To sow seed. So if you're working at McDonald's and you're making minimum wage, that's okay. What is 100-fold on minimum wage? Huh? Okay, let's say you make a little bit more. Maybe you make $10 an hour. So you get $10. What's the 100-fold on $10? $1,000. See how you get out of debt quick? Okay, you're not at the 100-fold. Well, let's start with 30, because that's as low as he's going to go. He ain't going any lower than 30. See, but then don't get satisfied with 30. Don't get satisfied with 60, because you see, it's in the scripture. Don't get satisfied with the 100-fold. Go over to Deuteronomy 1:11 and hit that 1,000 times. Oh, Jesus. Now, remember this. They're going to write articles about you in the newspaper. They're going to have helicopters fly over your house. They're going to put you on television. You just keep eating the Magnum crabs. You just keep and breathe. Because, see, they're under pressure. When you're not. It don't make no difference who you are. It don't make no difference how old you are. This is what God wants for each and every one of you. Most of the CEOs of America, and I close with this, most of them, a high percentage, 80 to 90%, at one time worked at Burger King or McDonald's. Got to start somewhere. What's wrong with that? Think about that for a minute. So when you do that, all of a sudden God just says, now, I won't have to train you. Let me close with it. I won't have to train you when you get to heaven. Some people are going to get to heaven, but they're going to have to go to school. They're going to have to go to school. All right, bring them in. Bring them into the session one, because they're going to be freaking out. They're going to say, we just can't live like that. Oh, yes, you can. You can live like this for eternity. So how rich was Abraham? Oh, who is, are we the seed of Abraham?
Yes.
We are. Then should we be imitators of God?
Yes.
In what? Spiritual, physical? So Linda, how many houses you want to sell? Sell the whole subdivision. That makes no difference to God. You know you'll make some people mad if you do that. They'll be jealous of you. Isn't that sad? When they ought to be glad that they know somebody. Ron's ministry growing. I know he owns 5 radio stations. He's just kicking, going at it. That's good. See, that's coming up. Man, oh, God. Refuse to stay on the bottom. Man, start telling your children that. You never have to steal in life to get ahead. Just work hard and believe God and be a blessing going somewhere to bless. And wherever you go, you'll become so acclimated to no pressure. You'll never have to worry about filling the barrel, because it's going to stay full. In fact, it's like water boiling. It'll just get bigger. And after a while, you'll get like John D. Rockefeller. They said, would you define rich? He said, no man is rich until he doesn't know how much he's got. He said, I don't know how much I'm worth. And he started the March of Dimes. Everybody said, well, that's easy to say. He said, well, everybody can give a dime. And the first thing Mr. Rockefeller did, when he went in to do a business, he built a church. He built the whole town. He built a church first. And he was a tither. Can you believe it? A tither. And mama taught him. And he almost went bankrupt. But she said, you gave to God, John, and God will bless you. And the last words of Mr. Rockefeller was, says, ain't nobody can get this rich other than God doing it. But he had the belief system to believe it. I've just given you the belief system to believe it.
Amen.
I've given you, and I like what Pastor Nate says, this is a place where dreams are fulfilled. That's how you say that?
Where dreams come true.
Where dreams come true. This is a Covenant Church is a place where dreams come true.
Amen.
They will come true for you. Spiritually, physically, financially, every area of your life. My last statement, I remember my brother-in-law, Jules Bouquet Sr., saying this to me. One day, I want to buy my kids a house. That went off of me like a shotgun. It was way back when, you know, that's when we lived on Hellier Street. Y'all lived in with Irene. We lived across the street from Ricky, Christine. And I thought, you know what? I believe God made Jules say that to help me, to give me a goal. But I remember telling my mama used to say this, Jesse, when you become 33 years old, you'll be the age of Jesus Christ. I added to it. I said, well, when I'm 33 years old, I will be debt free. Now, Jesse, you can't do that. I remember mama saying that. Michelle, when I was 33 years old, I was debt free. Last time I financed a car was 1978. Excuse me, 1976. My God. It's so wonderful to walk into a car dealership and go, I will take that one. How would you like to pay for that, sir? Would a check or cash be fine? Oh, yes, sir. They'll have it dripping with the water off of it standing outside before you sign the papers. Get in and drive off. And watch this. Enjoy it. Because it came from God. It makes no difference who he uses. It came from God. Christine and Ricky's grandchildren moved away to Dallas. Come to find out, this is was Jacob's first football game or something like that. You won't want to be there for your grandson. I just happened to be going to Dallas. I said, y'all want to go to Dallas? Just meet me here at such and such time. I got to go do some work. You should have seen them, buddy. They went up there. Sure enough. I guess that trip cost you a little money because they started buying clothes for the kids. They said, we miss y'all. They only been gone about a week, but whatever it was. I don't know. It was wonderful. But see, I didn't do that. The Lord did that. I didn't know that they wanted to go. I had no concept. In fact, I was walking with Ricky. Remember? I was walking around. I said, Ricky, what y'all doing? I said, I'm going to Dallas. You want to go? Oh, yeah. He said, man, Jacob. I said, well, come on. I went to a motorcycle rally. And they went out and saw their grandson play a game, I guess, and all the different things. And their granddaughter get a nice little dress for homecoming or whatever they call that. All those kind of things. I didn't do that. God did that. Oh, no, but God. No. Don't lay it on, Jesse. I'm just on the top of the, I'm at the top of the barrel. I just enjoy myself. God's got all the water underneath holding me up where it used to be on top of me, pushing me down. There's no more. I will say this. I will never run out. Never. I know I'm going to make somebody mad. Never. And you know what, sir? I don't know who you are, but I'm going to believe, God, that you won't run out neither. That you can have all you desire, all you need, whatever. I don't know, whatever. Why not? He's God. You can't break him. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I mean, he's pretty big. Why not? Why not, huh? Come on, man. Think about that. Glory to God, man.
John, so glad that you come to church. When you were little here, came, man, so you can grow up in this, son. It percolates in you. And when somebody says anything different, you go, no, 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 no. That's called covenant.
Amen.
You hang on, bless God. And it wouldn't surprise me one day, Linda, you sell the whole subdivision. Who knows? Why not? I think it'll make your husband proud. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He might want to retire. Praise God. Yes. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So what's your dream? What's your dream? What I said is impossible because you're on the bottom right now. But watch this. Just be still and let the Lord bring you. And never forget the people that you meet going up. And always be the blessing you want to be. And never get cocky with it. Just enjoy your life. And if Jesus tarries and you die, you know what they'll say about you? That was a good man. That was a good woman. Did you enjoy it this morning?
Yeah.
Give Jesus a hand clap for that.